According to the gospel that we heard this morning, in a time when there were more than 600 laws in the Judaic tradition, we hear a man ask Jesus, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" And you heard the answer. Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And then we hear the teacher, Jesus, ask his own question, because turnabout is fair play, right? "What do you think of the Messiah, the Christ? Whose son is he?" The group of Pharisees gathered there answered him, "He is the son of David." But Jesus is not finished yet. He says, "If he is the son of David, how is it then that David himself calls him Lord or Master when he says in this psalm," if you want to read it, it's Psalm 110, or is it 101, Bert? I can't remember. Anyway, it's got a 1, a 0, and a 1 in it. One way. "Yahweh said to my Lord," the psalmist says, "sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet." If David, Jesus says, calls him by the title of Lord or Master, how can he then be his son? Chirp, chirp, chirp. That's cricket. The contemplation of the gospel reading incorporates both questions asked, and it offers us a God's vision of transformation and change if we can receive it. So what does it mean to love God? Who is God? What is God? What does it mean to love my neighbor? And what does it mean to love, period? And what does that have to do with the Messiah, the anointed one? And here's the kicker. None of these can be asked beyond the literal or sensory lives in which we live, right? We can't understand what Jesus is talking about. But maybe we can arrive at some of what Jesus is asking by hearing a story about a busy man. One day, a certain man hurriedly headed out the door for work. In his path was his 3-year-old son playing with blocks. The man patted the boy on the head, stepped over him, opened the door, and went outside. Halfway down the walk, a guilt bomb exploded within him. You ever had one of those go off in you? Guilt bomb? I have. "What am I doing?" he thought to himself. "I am ignoring my son. I never play with him. He'll be old before I know it." In the background of his thoughts, he heard the pounding rhythms of "Cats in the Cradle" by Harry Chapin. Remember that ballad to lost fatherhood? He returned to the house and he sat down with his son and began to build blocks. And after 2 minutes, the boy said, "Daddy, why are you mad at me?" Doing is important. But what about the inner dimension, the inner space from which actions come? The man goes back to play with his son, and yet the son senses something that might be described maybe in this way. "Daddy's not here to be with me because he loves me, but he is sitting and playing blocks with me, even though he's mad at me." Children are very perceptive of such things. Is simply doing the act of love all that's required? We know the greatest commandments. Over half of us in this room, 3/4, we have rolled those words off of our tongues more easily than, you just know, right? And yet, how often do we love? Especially given that we don't consider the words as guidance or instructions, they're commandments, they're directives. And here's the deal. If God is so great, and we praise God, and we glorify God, Do we really think, and we know God loves us, do we really think God is going to direct us to do something that we are incapable of doing? Ask yourself that. Sometimes we let ourselves off the hook by saying things like, well, I'm in process, or I'm getting there, or nobody's perfect, or you don't see JC on my forehead. I used to use that one a lot. And that's all true. But everybody in the world can say the same thing. And who got up this morning and looked at any news? Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Now you know, if everybody in the world can say that, us, we're saying that, the world ain't got a chance. So we don't have to be perfect, but we do have to allow ourselves to be made whole, living out of oneness with God and in God. You see, we human beings are a mystery. We're made up of both an outer dimension and an inner dimension. Now, the outer dimension of the senses is realized in the outer world, and in what we touch or taste or smell or see or hear. And that's all well and good. But we also have an inner dimension, or the extrasensory. And that's realized in the inner world of dreams and visions and feelings and emotions and ideas and thoughts and attitudes, which, by the way, are simply concretized thoughts of our minds. And you know how many times I've preached from this pulpit about your thinking. Our thoughts are not us. You are not your thought. The outer is purely physical and what scientists would call matter. The inner is spiritual or energetic, or what some might call consciousness or isness, being itself. We are made up of both. And yet love is the core of us, of our innermost state. In other words, we are love at our core, because that's where God resides. Dame Julian of Norwich beautifully relates this love within the cosmos in her book, Divine Revelations. And she talks about the hazelnut in her hand, and she says, I saw a thing like a hazelnut in my hand, and I understood that it is all that was created. Everything that's created is in my hand. And in this little thing, I saw three properties. The first is that God made it. The second is that God loves it. The third, that God keeps it. We are made by love. We are loved for love's sake and kept by love. Beyond the physicalities of living, we fail to understand this truth because we judge life. Most of us, we've been conditioned to judge life based only on our five senses. They tell us what's in the outer world. We let our outer dimension drive us, and we kick our inner world to the curb. Now, I'm not saying that we should ignore the inner world or ignore the outer world for the inner world, because we need both. It's about balance. They make us a full package, a complete human being, because that's what Jesus was, with both the inner and the outer, moving between them both, holding them both. The days in which we now live, from the news, require us to balance both the outer and inner parts of our lives. Some of us, right in this room, may be sleeping poorly, or feeling poorly, or living with deep underlying malaise, or discomfort, or unexplored distress for this very reason, because our souls are calling us to wake up to the truth of who we are, the mystery of being human. Based on this understanding of both inner and outer dimensions of human nature, the Messiah can both be both the Son of David in the physical ancestral lineage sense, and the anointed emissary of the divine God in his innermost being. And here's the surprise, we all are. We are one. We're one in Christ. And then we've taken on the same identity as Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ. When we say yes, without equivocation, to the Holy Spirit, who keeps coming at us day in and day out, hour in and hour out, asking us to be changed into who we truly are. We come to understand and know love and how to love both God and each other when we're surrendered and hold nothing back. It has taken me all of the years of my life to learn that I don't need to resist what is. God is. And resistance, as the Borgs would say, is futile. Because we already are love, and we are experiencing life in the sensory world. And it's not all roses. There are challenges that help us to grow into something fuller than what we think we are. Within this surrender of what we call ourselves is where we receive our true self, our Christ self. And all of you who are centering and practicing centering prayer or any form of meditation, I'm looking at Cheryl now, knows the physical expression of the mystery of God is a relationship of love, and that we're it, body, soul, mind, and heart. We're being all of God if we'll receive it. This is our inheritance, and this is God's dream. I love this, the scripture that says, at the end of the ages, where God will be all and in all. That's where we're headed. There's another story about a woman who took her aging mother into her home. The mother had had a stroke and needed time to recover. The daughter was very solicitous and painstakingly attentive to her mother's every need. Nevertheless, a fight broke out over, get this, a hard-boiled egg. In the middle of the war of words, the mother stopped short and asked, "Why are you doing all this for me anyhow?" It was a question of, from what inner space is all of this care coming? Because you can do till the cows come home. But if the inner space ain't in alignment, so what? The daughter started to list her reasons. "I'm afraid for you. I want you to get well. I feel like I ignored you when I was younger. I need to show you that I am strong. I need to get you ready to go home alone. You are getting older." The daughter could have gone on and on and on. And the mother said, "That's all junk." "Junk?" "Yes, junk." The mother said this a little quieter. "You don't have to have all those reasons for doing these things for me. We love each other. That's enough." The daughter at that moment felt like a child again with a parent, showing you that something is true, but not making you feel put down for it. "Yes, you're right," the daughter said. "I'm sorry." "Don't be sorry," the mother replied. "Junk is fine. It's what you don't need anymore. I love you." Both the inner me and the outer me make me who I am. My prayer for about the last year, and I'm grateful as God answers this prayer for me. My prayer is to allow me, the inner me, to become the driver of this vehicle, because that's all this is. And the outer me to be the passenger instead of vice versa. Many of you know me, and you've been with me when the outer me has been in the driver's seat, and it ain't too pretty. But we are in process. We are both inner and outer, and thank God we are one. Amen.